Ever imagined a jury coming back with a verdict, but like nobody's really sure what they decided?
Oh, yeah.
That's exactly the kind of legal maze we're diving into today. Magnani v. Trogi. It's a case from the Illinois Appellate Court, and it really shows how like these little details in legal procedure, they can totally change everything.
Yeah, this case, it's like a textbook example of, you know how a simple verdict form can set off a chain reaction of legal issues?
Totally. And for anyone listening, if you ever thought about like how courts try to balance being fair with getting things done efficiently, or how like one tiny thing can just completely derail a whole case, this deep dive is for you. We're talking about a case that's both a wrongful death and a survival action. But the verdict form, oh, it really messed things up.
Yeah, before we get into the specifics, it's super important to understand that wrongful death and survival action, they sound similar, but legally, they're totally different beasts. They might stem from the same incident, sure, but the damages they cover and who can actually claim them are completely separate.
Okay, so break this down for us. Why is that difference so important, especially when we're talking about, what the jury decides? What happens if they just kind of lump everything together?
So think of it this way. Imagine, tragically, someone's injured in a car accident, right? A survival action focuses on the harm they went through before they passed away. So things like their medical bills, the pain they suffered, any wages they lost during that time, it's all about compensating their estate for what they personally endured.
Gotcha. So then wrongful death is about the impact on like the family and everyone left behind.
Exactly. Wrongful death actions, they're usually filed under specific laws, and they zero in on the losses suffered by the family. Things like the financial support they've lost, the emotional pain, the loss of companionship, those damages, they go directly to the surviving family members.
So two different types of harm, two different legal claims. But in Magnani, the jury only got one verdict form, and they awarded a lump sum, just $19,000, no breakdown whatsoever of what part was for which action.
And that's precisely where the confusion started and why this case ended up on appeal. Everyone's left guessing. Did the jury just reject one claim outright? Did they split the award? We just don't know from that verdict form.
Yeah, that's tricky. So because of all this ambiguity, the trial judge decided to order a new trial. But then the defendant appealed that decision. Now, to understand this appeal, we got to talk about something called the abuse of discretion standard.
Right.
Can you explain that for us?
It's honestly simpler than it sounds. Think of it like a referee in a game. Appellate courts trust that the trial judge, the one who saw the whole game play out, made the right calls. They'll only step in if there's a blatant foul, like a decision so out there that no reasonable person would made it. That's what abuse of discretion means.
Okay. So in this case, the defendant was saying the trial judge, like, messed up by ordering a new trial.
Exactly. They're claiming the judge overstepped. But the majority on the appellate court disagreed. They sided with fairness, over just trying to wrap things up quickly. They argued that this ambiguous verdict form created a real chance of an unfair outcome. Without knowing what the jury intended, the plaintiff might not actually be getting all the compensation they deserve. So a new trial, that was the way to make sure things were fair.
And I think they even quoted like a legal principle to back that up, right?
Yeah.
Something about how courts are more likely to grant a new trial than deny one.
Yeah, they specifically said greater latitude is allowed a trial court in granting a new trial than in denying one. It basically emphasizes the idea that courts would rather hit the reset button if there's even a slight chance the first trial wasn't totally fair.
Okay, that makes sense. But wait, wasn't there also a dissenting opinion in this case? Like a judge who disagreed? What did they think?
Oh, yeah, Justice Stouter. They felt that the plaintiff basically gave up their right to separate claims by not specifically asking for, separate verdict forms before the jury went to deliberate. They also thought the defendant didn't properly object to the single form during the trial itself. So, according to them, it shouldn't be an issue on appeal.
So for them, the problem wasn't really the verdict form itself. It was like the procedural mistakes along the way.
Exactly. But the majority, they addressed that argument, right? They said, hold on, our concern isn't just about checking off procedural boxes. The real issue here is the potential confusion this single verdict form caused the jury.
Right.
Procedural issues aside, the main problem is the risk of a messed up verdict because we just don't know what the jury actually decided.
Okay, I get it. So if we're talking about lawyers, like what's the big takeaway from Magnani v. Trogi? What should they learn from this whole thing?
Oh, this case sends a clear message. When you've got distinct claims, always ask for separate verdict forms. And just as important, if you see a form that's unclear, object right then and there during the trial, not after the verdict's already in. That way, if you need to appeal later on, you've preserved the issue.
That's good advice. And what about judges? What should they take away from Magnani?
Well, it gives them a roadmap for when ordering a new trial might be the right move. If a verdict form is murky and there's even a chance the jury's decision was influenced by confusion, the judge can and sometimes should just go ahead and order a new trial.
But you mentioned earlier that appellate courts tend to give trial judges a lot of leeway on these things, right?
Yeah.
So does that mean they'd rarely overturn a decision to grant a new trial just because a verdict form was confusing?
Exactly. Appellate courts get it. The trial judge, they were there for the whole thing. They saw the arguments, heard the jury instructions, maybe even fielded questions from the jury during deliberations.
Right.
So they have a much better sense of whether confusion really played a role in the verdict. Unless the trial judge's decision seems totally off base, the appellate court's unlikely to step in.
Let's give our listeners a concrete example to really illustrate this point. Imagine a medical malpractice case where the plaintiff's alleging both negligence and battery by a doctor. And let's say they get a single verdict form and the jury just comes back with a general finding in favor of the plaintiff.
I see where you're going with this.
Yeah. With that single verdict, we have no clue. Do the jury accept the negligence claim? The battery claim? Both. It's a recipe for a potentially unfair outcome and, based on Magnani, probably grounds for a do-over, right?
You nailed it. Magnani makes it clear, distinct claims, distinct verdict forms. It's all about transparency and making sure the jury's decision actually reflects what they talked about during deliberations.
So we've seen how Magnani v. Trogi shines a light on how important it is to have those clear, specific verdict forms to make sure a trial is fair. But it also makes you think about something bigger.
Oh, absolutely. It makes us really think about what a jury trial is all about. What does it actually mean when a jury comes back with a verdict? It's not just picking a winner and a loser.
Right.
They have to carefully look at each part of every claim, weigh the evidence, and come up with a decision that shows they understand all the little nuances of the case.
It's like they're putting together a really complicated puzzle. And if the verdict form itself is all messed up, it's like some of the pieces are, missing or they don't quite fit. Their decision might get lost in translation.
That's a great way to put it. It really shows how a poorly designed verdict form can undermine the whole point of having a jury in the first place. It's asking for directions, but getting a map with no street names.
Exactly. So it's not just about filling out a form. It's about capturing what they really talked about and decided.
Yeah, you got it. Magnani reminds us that those verdict forms, they're not just some bureaucratic thing you got to do. They're the way the jury's voice is heard. It's how we make sure their decision making is transparent and their conclusions are crystal clear and unambiguous.
Yeah. This case also highlights the tension that sometimes exists between getting things done efficiently and being fair. I mean, sometimes using a single verdict form might seem like a shortcut, but like we see in Magnani, it can end up costing a lot more in the end.
Totally right. The potential for confusion, the risk of getting an unfair result, those things far outweigh any time you might save. And don't forget, a verdict that's ambiguous can actually lead to more delays and expenses down the line if you end up needing a whole new trial. It's like taking a shortcut that leads you right back to where you started.
Yeah, for sure. So clarity is key. And it all starts with giving juries the right tools to express their decisions accurately and completely. Now, that dissenting opinion in Magnani, it did bring up some interesting points about procedural rules and waivers. It seems like there's this constant back and forth between, strictly following procedures and making sure the result is fair.
Oh, yeah. That's the age-old debate in the legal world. Procedural rules, they're definitely important for order and predictability. But sometimes sticking to them too rigidly can overshadow, the goal of getting a truly just outcome.
And in Magnani, it seemed like the dissenting judge really prioritized those procedural missteps, while the majority focused on the possibility of an unfair outcome because of that unclear verdict, even if there were, a few procedural hiccups.
Exactly. The majority basically said, look, even if everyone didn't follow every single rule perfectly, we can't just ignore the chance that the jury got it wrong because they were given a confusing tool. It's a powerful statement about the court's commitment to being fair, even if it means bending the rules a little bit.
It makes you wonder, what happens when those procedural rules clash with trying to achieve justice? Can you ever really reconcile those two competing goals?
That's a tough question. There's no easy answer. But I think Magnani gives us some valuable insight. It suggests that while those procedural rules are important, they shouldn't be like roadblocks to justice. Judges have a duty to look beyond the technicalities and consider what's really at stake, especially if there's a genuine risk of getting an unfair result.
So it's about finding a balance, right?
Mm-hmm.
Seeing the value of procedural rules, but also being flexible enough so that they don't become like tools for injustice.
Right on. And I think Bagnani is a good example of how courts can and should navigate that delicate balance. Now, for our listeners who maybe aren't legal experts, what's the main takeaway from Bagnani? What makes it so important beyond the specifics of, you know, verdict forms and procedural stuff?
That's a great question. I think at its core, Bagnani is about a fundamental principle of our entire justice system, the pursuit of fairness.
Absolutely. It reminds us that courts have a duty to make sure everyone involved in a lawsuit, no matter how complicated their case might be, gets a real chance to present their side, have their evidence heard, and have their claims decided by a jury that truly gets what's going on.
And that a simple piece of paper shouldn't be a barrier to a fair outcome.
Exactly. The verdict form is just a tool. You know, the real goal is always a fair and just resolution, and Bagnani really drives that point home.
This deep dive has been super insightful. But before we wrap up, I want to touch on one more crucial aspect of Bagnani, the impact it might have on future lawsuits. It's not just some interesting legal puzzle. It has real-world implications for how lawyers and judges approach cases moving forward. Okay, so with all that in mind, how do you think Bagnani v. Trogi will, like, change how lawyers approach cases in the future?
Well, I think Bagnani is a bit of a wake-up call for lawyers on both sides, really. For those representing plaintiffs, it shows how crucial it is to be super careful with their drafting, pleadings, jury instructions, the whole nine yards. Each claim needs to be laid out with like absolute clarity, and the verdict forms need to match that level of precision.
No room for being vague then.
Nope, not at all.
Yeah.
Ambiguity in court, that's just asking for trouble. Plaintiffs' lawyers, they got to make sure the jury's equipped to understand and decide on each claim separately without any head scratching.
And how about for the defense? How does this case change their strategy?
I think it serves as a pretty strong warning. You know, defense attorneys, they might be tempted to try and make things a bit murky, hoping a single verdict form will hide the fact that the jury might have rejected certain claims.
Right.
But Bagnani shows us that courts are getting, I'd say, more likely to really scrutinize those forms. That, yeah, they might order new trials if they see even a hint of confusion or a chance of things being unfair.
So no more trying to pull a fast one with verdict forms, huh?
Exactly. Bagnani is pushing for, like, a more transparent, straightforward way of doing things. It's about making absolutely sure that the jury's decision is a genuine reflection of how they deliberated on each individual claim.
It seems like this whole case connects to a bigger trend we're seeing. You know, litigation is just getting more and more complex with all these multifaceted claims and subtle legal issues popping up left and right. How do we make sure jury verdicts stay clear, concise, and really reflect what the jury understood?
That's the big question, isn't it? I think Bagnani shows us that our legal system needs to like constantly evolve and adapt. As cases get more complicated, we might need to rethink how we do things, our traditional approaches to jury instructions and verdict forms.
So maybe move away from the usual legal jargon and find some new ways to present information to juries that's both thorough and easy to grasp.
That's the idea. We might need to look into things like visual aids, clearer language, maybe even, you know, interactive tools to help juries navigate those complex issues and break down these multifaceted claims into pieces they can actually digest.
Sounds like Bagnani is like a call to action, not just for lawyers and judges, but for anyone involved in figuring out the procedures that guide our legal system.
Couldn't agree more. It reminds us that our legal system is, well, it's not static. It's constantly changing. And as the world changes and litigation gets more complex, we need to be ready to adapt, to come up with new solutions to ensure those core principles, fairness and justice, they stay at the center of every single trial.
This deep dive into Bagnani v. Trogi has been really eye-opening. It's amazing how something as seemingly straightforward as a verdict form can lead to such a deep conversation about fairness, procedure, and what the future holds for our legal system. But before we go, I want to leave our listeners with one last thought. In a world where legal battles are getting increasingly complicated, how can we guarantee that those jury verdicts are not only solid in terms of the law, but also crystal clear and easy for everyone involved to understand? It's something to think about, not just for legal professionals, but for anyone who cares about a just and equitable legal system. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Until next time.